نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدًا عبده وحبيبه وخاتم رسله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن سار على نهجهم إلى يوم الدين. My brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We are continuing in our series about the signs of the last hour, and we have currently reached the last segment of our signs. Today, inshallah, is the second half of the signs of the major occurrences, the major signs before the last hour. And just to recap, the major signs are 10. They are Imam al-Mahdi, al-Dajjal, the descension of Isa alayhi salam, the son of Mary, Ya'juj and Ma'juj, the rising of the sun from where it sits, three humongous earthquakes that swallow in cities, one in the east, one in the west, and one in the Arabian islands. The animal that walks on earth as well, Ad-Dabba. The smoke. And the fire that gathers to people, the people to where they are to gather and be gathered on the Day of Judgment. If you count the three massive earthquakes, they are three. They make up 10 all up with the major signs. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that before the last hour, wait for 10 major signs. We don't know which one is the first, but when the first does arrive, then the rest follows as if you have cut a necklace full of beads. The beads follow after each other. As soon as one falls out, the next follows. As though he is saying the occurrences of the major signs will not end before the next one has appeared immediately. Or it will just end, and just when you think that it's all over, the next sign has appeared almost instantaneously. Brother, can you switch on the lights for us? Oh, they are. Switch on the sign. And these major signs, my brothers and sisters, indicate that after the 10 are ended, then the whole world, the universe as you know it, the sun and the moon that you see, the earth itself, the sky, will be destroyed. It will be gone, as though nothing was created. And the earth is transformed, the same earth is transformed from the way it is now, to a different shape, a different color, a different type. And the sky that you see above you in the night and in the day is transformed from what it is now to another different sky. Allah says in the Quran, يَوْمَ تُبَدَّلُ الْأَرْضُ غَيْرَ الْأَرْضِ وَالسَّمَاوَاتِ. On that day, the earth will be changed from the earth you see now and the skies will be changed from the form they are now. We have spoken about Al-Mahdi, Imam Al-Mahdi. We also spoke about Al-Dajjal, the Antichrist. And we also spoke about Isa alayhi salam. Today, I will continue a little bit more, which I left out with regards to Dajjal and Isa alayhi salam, and continue with the rest. As for Al-Dajjal, we mentioned his whole story last week. But I would like to mention some things that we Muslims must equip ourselves with if you want to know how do you avoid him, how are you saved from him, how will you be able to run away from him and survive as a Muslim believer. There are several methods. Three that we know of, we sum them up. Number one, every Muslim must know their aqidah, meaning the creed, meaning the aspects concerned with the attributes and the descriptions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you have to know, for example, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a human being, and that a human being cannot be like God in any way, shape or form, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above His creation. He does not come into His creation and use His own creation to build up an army or to survive. Al-Dajjal, when he says, "I am God," a Muslim who understands who Allah really is and understands the Tawheed, the oneness of Allah, cannot be mistaken when Al-Dajjal says to them, "I am God," no matter what he does. Also, the attributes and descriptions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in what He has informed us about, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not one-eyed, meaning He does not see with one eye. Al-Dajjal is one-eyed, he sees with one eye, and the other one he doesn't see from it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says this, and we must learn these things, that he told us, "Your Lord is not one-eyed, Al-Dajjal is one-eyed," meaning he sees with one eye, not one eye meaning in the center of his eye, of his face, meaning he sees with one eye, but he's got two eyes. A'war. So we need to learn the attributes and descriptions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's number one. Number two, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reminds us to say, he teaches us some dua, which we say in our prayer at the end of At-Tahiyyat and Al-Ibrahimiyya. So say At-Tahiyyatu Lillahi and say Al-Ibrahimiyya. Then at the end of it, in our prayer, before we say Assalamu Alaikum wa Rahmatullah, he teaches us several types of dua. One of these types is the following. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min azab al-qabr, wa a'udhu bika min fitnat al-masih al-dajjal, wa a'udhu bika min fitnat al-mahya wa fitnat al-mamat, wa a'udhu bika min azab al-nar. O Allah, I seek refuge in you from the punishment of the grave, and I seek refuge in you from the Messiah, the liar, Al-Dajjal meaning. And I seek refuge in you from the calamities, mischiefs of this earth, the life and its death, meaning, so I don't leave my religion while being living, and when I die I don't leave my religion either. And I seek refuge in you, Ya Allah, from hellfire. This dua, the Prophet ﷺ used to always say it, or usually say it, just before the Taslim. And involved in it is Al-Masih Al-Dajjal. O Allah, I seek refuge in you from Dajjal, the Antichrist. And thirdly, Prophet ﷺ taught us to recite and memorize the first 10 verses of Surah Al-Kahf, which begin with, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا قيما لينذر بأسا شديدا من لدن ويبشر المؤمنين الذين يعملون الصالحات أن لهم أجرا حسنا ماكثين فيه أبدا وينذر الذين قالوا اتخذ الله ولدا ما لهم به من علم ولا لآبائهم كبرت كلمة تخرج من أفواههم إن يقولون إلا كذبا فلعلك باخع نفسك على آثارهم إن لم يؤمنوا بهذا الحديث أسفا. So you learn these 10 verses, and that inshallah protects you from the Dajjal. Prophet ﷺ said, when a Dajjal comes and you see him, recite these verses and Allah will protect you from him and from his mischief. And lastly, to know the descriptions as well, as a fourth thing, to know the descriptions of a Dajjal as came to us from the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, that he has three letters on his forehead, and we mentioned them last week. The descriptions of a Dajjal, the only person who does not understand the descriptions of the Dajjal or doesn't know them has to be a person who is ignorant of the Sunnah, because they are so distinctive, it's not funny. They are very distinctive, and we mentioned these descriptions of a Dajjal last week. So refer to last week's lecture. As for Isa alayhi salam, we mentioned that while we are praying behind Imam al-Mahdi in Damascus, in Ash-Sham, as it was called, in the masjid with the white minaret, as the Prophet ﷺ describes it, suddenly Isa alayhi salam, the true Jesus Christ, comes down, descends from the skies, and there are two angels carrying him, one on the right and one on the left, and he is wearing two pieces of garments, a trousers and a long shirt. The prophets, they used to like wearing long shirts. The Prophet ﷺ used to also love wearing long shirts. This is why we wear these long abayat, or the izar, as we call it, or long shirts. Doesn't have to be like the one I'm wearing. Doesn't have to be like the Saudi type. But the Prophet ﷺ used to love long shirts that extended down almost to his knees, or past his knees, or before his knees, but they were long, because it covers the awra when you're praying or when you're moving. So he comes down with these two garments, they are white, and his hair will look as if it is dripping. And he will enter into the masjid, I'm just summarizing, and he will wipe on the face of the mu'mineen that are in there. And then he will inform you of every mu'min, their position in heaven, in Jannah. And he will tell you what you have and what is awaiting for you. And that gives them courage and gives them stamina and gives them love to defend this religion and fight in the cause of Allah on that day. And then Imam al-Mahdi takes a step backwards, indicating for Isa alayhi salam to pray Imam. But then Isa alayhi salam replies, Allah has created for every particular ummah a distinct Imam. And you, O Mahdi, are the Imam. His name is Muhammad ibn Abdullah, remember? You are the Imam of this Ummah. And no one can come and overtake the Imamhood of someone who has been appointed. So Isa alayhi salam prays behind Imam al-Mahdi, our Khalifa, our last Khalifa. And he will join the rows of the believers, not as the Prophet of this Ummah, but as one of the members of the Ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Isa alayhi salam will be raised on the Day of Judgment from amongst the Ummah, the nation of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he dies with the nation, the Ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad. He dies with us here. Isa alayhi salam is not dead yet, but he will die. This is why in the Quran, in Surah Maryam, he says, peace be upon you, the day upon me, the day I was born, and the day I shall die, وَيَوْمَ أَمُوتُ, and the day I shall be resurrected. We believe that Isa alayhi salam will die, but it hasn't died yet, because you then will be contradicting the verses of the Quran. And the Quran is unique. The Quran is special. The Quran is truth from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are no two versions of it anywhere in the world. Isa alayhi salam will walk out with us, with Imam al-Mahdi and the army of al-Mahdi, going out for the army of al-Dajjal to fight them. We reach Baytul Maqdis in Jerusalem, the old temple or castle of Sulaiman alayhi salam. If you've ever been to Palestine, I've seen a picture of it, the diagram where the mosque with the rock dome in it, the golden dome. Masjid al-Aqsa is the one in front of it, and you'll find fences, like a big brick fence all the way around. This is called Jerusalem. or Baytul Maqdis. It's huge. They're ruins, they're very old, they're over 10,000 years old. These are the ones that Sulaiman alayhi salam built, and he got the jinns to build it. There were remarkable things in there, almost miraculous. But now they're gone. And that is where Bayt al-Maqdis is. Isa alayhi salam, Imam al-Mahdi will lead us then. Isa alayhi salam is with us. The duty of Isa alayhi salam is the following. We reach Bayt al-Maqdis and there is a big gate. We open it, and before us there will be a Dajjal standing with his army. As soon as Ad-Dajjal sees Isa alayhi salam, he begins to melt. And the only one that can ever kill Ad-Dajjal is Isa alayhi salam. Only Jesus, peace be upon him. Muhammad, peace be upon him, sallallahu alayhi salam, cannot kill him. Not anyone on the face of the earth, except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is above everything. And secondly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the power to Isa alayhi salam only to be able to kill the Dajjal. So as soon as Dajjal sees him, he melts. Literally melts like a candle. As he is melting, he runs away because he doesn't want the people to see him die. So Isa alayhi salam, to prove to the people that he is not God, because a God can't die, he says, I have a duty. I am able to do something to you, and I'm going to do it now. So he races after him with the sword, and in front of everyone, he slits his throat and kills Ad-Dajjal in front of everyone. Then he says to everyone, أَإِلَهٌ يُقْتَلْ. Can a God worshipped, a worshipped God, can he be killed? So he proves to the people who are surrounding him at that time that that Dajjal is not God, nor is he Isa alayhi salam. After that, Isa alayhi salam lives amongst the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Some say in the time in which Al-Mahdi rules, and that's 7 or 8 years, or 9 years. But the more correct opinion, Allah knows best, that he lives only within the time that Imam Al-Mahdi is ruling. Because the hadith says that when Imam Al-Mahdi dies, after him there is no more bliss, there is no more comfort, there is no more peace. The world returns to the darkness that it was before, and even worse. And that the ayat of the Qur'an will be lifted from earth. There will be no Qur'anic words anymore. So Isa alayhi salam, in the correct opinion, he dies within that time. Because we live in the time of Isa alayhi salam, long years of bliss and peace and tranquility and equality. It is similar, or an attribute of a paradise on earth, where the animal, the baby, plays with the scorpion and the snake. In the hadith it says, and it does, and its poison cannot harm it. When the lions and the sheep will graze together, they'll be next to each other, there will be no killing of such. Equality and equity everywhere. This is in the time of Imam al-Mahdi and Isa alayhi salam. However, the time comes for the next major sign. And the next major sign are Ya'juj and Ma'juj. Better known in English, probably have heard them named Gog and Magog. The word Ya'juj and Ma'juj, Ya'juj, first word, is said to be a foreign word, meaning non-Arabic. And others said it's an Arabic word. What it means, basically, Ya'juj, means either a great fire that blazes and burns quickly, or a fast moving people, very quickly. Either one it means, it still fits the description of these people called Al-Ya'juj and Ma'juj. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once woke up in the middle of the day after Dhuhr, and he went out of his house and screamed, وَيْلٌ لِلْعَرَبْ مِنْ شَرٍ قَدْ اِقْتَرَبْ لَقَدْ فُتِحَ الْيَوْمَ مِنْ هَدْمِ يَعْجُوجِ وَمَأْجُوجِ قَدْرَ هَذَا وَحَلَّقَ بِأُصْبُعَيْهِ. He said, woe, meaning bad news, to the Arabs, meaning the Muslims. in those days, because they were the majority in that time, from a bad happening that has come very near. Today, this much has been opened from the wall of Ya'juj and Ma'juj, and he made a ring with his finger, like that. Yes, it was opened. And in another hadith, Prophet ﷺ explains to us that every day, this much is opened, and then they say, we'll finish the work off tomorrow. The next day comes, and it's closed again. Until when the day comes for them, these people, Ya'juj and Ma'juj, to be released, they will be released. Let me tell you their story. What is Ya'juj and Ma'juj? I've given you the definition of the word. However, they are a tribe. They are a human tribe. The human beings, just like you and me, they breathe and eat and breed. They breathe, eat and breed. And oh, how much they breed. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explains to us that they breed so much that he says, if they were to be spread on earth right now amongst the humans, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and they are the children of Adam alayhi salam, they would overcome everything of our life, all our food, all our crops, all our animals, all our work. They'll take it all over and they will corrupt it all, and leave nothing out. He said, and there isn't one of them that dies of Ya'juj and Ma'juj, except that he leaves behind him an offspring equal to 1,000 children he leaves behind him. Not one Ya'juj and Ma'juj member dies, except that 1,000 children are left behind him, 1,000. Of that one man, 1,000 of his children are left behind. And then every one of these 1,000 dies and leaves 1,000 also behind. Then every one of that leaves 1,000 and on and on and on. So they multiply unbelievably. They are, yani, if they were to be released, we are unable. All of the human beings of the world cannot combat them, cannot beat them. They are just too many. And Ya'juj and Ma'juj, the story of them actually comes to us in the Qur'an. In the same surah which I recited the first 10 verses from, Surah Al-Kahf. Excuse me, I have a throat infection today. Surah Al-Kahf. It talks about them. There used to exist a great king. His name was Dhul-Qarnayn, or his nickname was Dhul-Qarnayn. Dhul-Qarnayn meaning the man with the two horns. He used to wear a helmet with two horns coming out of it. And this noble king, Dhul-Qarnayn, was a righteous king. Some say he was a prophet, but on a correct opinion, he was just a Muslim righteous king who led the world way before the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right? This is the times just before Musa alayhi salam, approximately. And Dhul-Qarnayn, he was a very powerful ruler, very strong. Allah had given him great ability and great authority. In fact, it is reported in our Sunnah that there were the greatest four kings on earth that ever existed. They were Sulaiman alayhi salam, the Prophet, Fir'aun, Pharaoh at the time of Musa alayhi salam, Dhul-Qarnayn, which we have just mentioned now. And the fourth one I cannot remember. But one of them is Dhul-Qarnayn, the greatest king ever to live on earth. Greatest kingdom, greatest authority. A great army. And he was non-Arab, he wasn't an Arab. Yet, he was very educated and knowledgeable. And in the Quran it says, Dhul-Qarnayn was a just ruler, and everybody, the whole earth, when they met him, they sought help from him, whether they spoke his language or didn't speak his language. And they wanted help from him to assist them from the injustice of other people. So one time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, part of the story, one time he reaches a place, metaphorically speaking here, Allah says, he reaches a far corner of earth, a place where the sun sets in a murky pond. تَغْرُبُ فِي عَيْنٍ حَمِئَةٍ. The sun obviously doesn't literally set in a murky pond, because the sun doesn't fit in a murky pond on Earth. The sun is thousands times larger than Earth, so it cannot fit in a murky pond in Earth. So Allah says, metaphorically speaking, this was a place known to the people of that land, the corner of the earth where the sun looks like it's setting in the murky pond. Just explaining that verse for you so you understand, brothers and sisters. You don't think that the Quran, you know, talks, has any contradictions in it, or doesn't make sense. When you say the sun set behind the mountain, does that mean if you go behind the mountain you'll find the sun? No, it's a metaphor. It's what your eye sees. But obviously you mean something different. So where the sun sets in a murky pond, Dhulqarnain meets a people. And these people, they cannot explain what is wrong because they don't speak the same language. But they point out to a different tribe. Who, what? Allah says, لَا يَكَادُونَ يَفْقَهُونَ قَوْلًا. This particular tribe, they do not understand speech. They're very, very primitive people. Extremely primitive. Like dead primitive. Like really, like the Stone Ages, if you ever heard of them. These are Stone Age people. And I wouldn't be surprised that some of this, maybe this the stuff that they bring about Stone Age people in the past, human beings, could have been them. Allah says, لَا يَكَدُونَ يَفْقَهُونَ قَوْلًا. Language, they can barely understand language. They signal, they use signs. Very ignorant people, very primitive, like the animals almost. And they said to Dhulqarnain, indicating to him, إِنَّ يَأْجُوجَ وَمَأْجُوجَ مُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. They're complaining about their tribe that is next to them, that is similar to them. Very primitive, very ignorant, almost like animals. Just above the level of animals in their education, in their understanding, in their comprehension, and in their invention. Ya'juj and Ma'juj, this tribe, mufsiduna fil ard. They are corruptors on earth, man. That's what they said to them. They ruin everything. They ruin people, they kill, they murder, they... Everywhere they go, they ruin lives. They're mischievous people. You know? There's bad people who cause misery to everyone else. Then they asked him, هَلْ لَكَ خَرْجًا عَلَىٰ أَن نَجْعَلَ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَهُمْ رَدْمًا. They said, O Dhulqarnain, do you think you are able to make a great wall, or a dam, or a seal between us and them so that they can't come to the other side and cause us harm? So Dhulqarnain, after advising Ya'juj and Ma'juj and speaking to them, he found that they were people who were thick-headed. They were people who did not accept anything. So he said to the other tribe and to his soldiers, help me then. Bring me melted lead, iron, and brass. And he heated it up all together until it became melted and like liquid. Then he built a great, huge wall of steel. This wall is described as very, extremely thick. It's almost about, alaykum salam, it's about 16 or 20 meters thick. And that was all melted lead mixed with brass, zubar al-hadid, iron, lead, brass, all melted together. And he built the huge walls, this sanction around the whole of Ya'juj and Ma'juj, and Ya'juj and Ma'juj are actually stuck or imprisoned between two huge mountains which they cannot climb and cannot get past. They'll die if they climb. And in between those two mountains, these great walls. And he blocked them inside. And ever since that day, Ya'juj and Ma'juj, this is what's been told to us in the Quran about them. Ever since that day, Ya'juj and Ma'juj are still behind that wall, unable to escape. And in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then again in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, or Abu Bakr, I'm not sure, twice this place was actually reached. They reached the wall. It's somewhere beyond Tajikistan, or in those areas up there, towards, you know, where towards Russia area, towards that area, or just below it, over there somewhere, opposite to China. And in the time of the companions, they actually went there on excavation and they saw this wall, and they couldn't enter it. It was completely locked and solid, nor could you get over it. Until today, no one knows where exactly it is, only in those two moments that are reported to us in the tariq, in the history, that I know of. As for these people, Ya'juj and Ma'juj, these human beings, there are several descriptions about how they look like. There are many descriptions that narrate about them. There are three distinct ones. Some of them, they say, look like... And when you look at them, they're skinny and tall and big, and they describe them to the cedar trees. So they're huge people. Others, they say, they are about 4 cubits tall by 4 cubits wide, from shoulder to shoulder. And some of them, they say that their ears are so huge that they can cover their face. Also, there were other descriptions saying that they are as tall as a palm, like that, or 2 palms, like this. And the tallest amongst them, they say, is 3 palms, like about this high, from the table to here. But all of these are just narrations. We don't know what their origin is. However, what we do know in the correct narrations is that they are normal people, regardless of their size. They are people like us. But the only thing that we know is that they are very strong people. They're not weak. They're solid. They've got tremendous strengths. Maybe they are the Stone Age people. And maybe they are a little bit shorter than the rest of the people as well. Which is what Sahih Hadith actually sort of point out to. Maybe they are short kind of people, shorter than us. And these Ya'juj and Ma'juj are so many, as I said, Allahu Akbar. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, every day they try to burrow through it. As I said, the technology is not that good. SubhanAllah, it doesn't give them an idea over these thousands of years to climb over it. They can't. So every day they knock through it a little bit. The next day they find it all back as it was with the miracle of Allah. So they keep knocking through until the day when it comes, Prophet ﷺ said, they accidentally say, tomorrow we will continue insha'Allah. The next day they wake up and it's still the way that they left it. And then they continue their digging until they escape on earth. And Allah says this in the Quran. The Futihat Ya'juj wa Ma'juj wa hum min kulli hadabin yansilun. So what will it be when Ya'juj and Ma'juj wall shall be opened, and they will scatter in every corner, every edge, every place on earth. They won't leave a place except that they get there. Everywhere, everywhere in the world. They will reach every place except very minor places. And they are the high mountains. Really high mountains. And they won't go underneath the ground. You can also hide from them as well. But they will go everywhere on earth. In at least in flat land and wherever there are rivers and lakes and waters. And what happens when they come out? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends a wahi, meaning Jibreel alayhi salam, or an inspiration in a dream, comes to Isa alayhi salam that Ya'juj and Ma'juj have been released. And that the advice to Isa alayhi salam is that he must run away with us to the mountains and hide up there because we are unable to beat them. And then Ya'juj and Ma'juj scatter on earth. Every person they see, they kill them. Child, woman, man, they kill them. They get rid of them. They eat all the crops, all the food, dry or fresh or whatever it is. They just eat it. They eat away everything. Everything that's edible. Crops, corn, everything. They don't need to cook it. There are so many of them that they pass a river, as in the hadith, and they drink and drink. It's all in the same day. They drink from that river. And how much can a human being drink? One human being can drink only so much. A cup, 2 cups, 1 liter. They drink and drink in the same, because there's such large amount, they're coming by. Huge, large. That the last half of the group, they reach the same river, which was only a few hours ago, and they find it dry. And they say, I think there was water here a long time ago. And the first half of them already drank it all. In the same day. They say, we think there was water here a long time ago. Let's try the next one. Imagine that, how many there are. And here I would like to mention a hadith, which gives us good news. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once said, يقول الله تعالى يا آدم. Allah says, يا آدم. And then Adam says, لَبَّيْكَ وَسَعْدَيْكَ, O my Lord, yes. This is what Allah said to him in the beginning. Then Allah said to him, sorry, this is in the end, when we are all in Jannah, inshaAllah. And then Allah says to Adam, take out from hellfire. Sorry. Put into hellfire out of every 1,000. I'll repeat the hadith, brothers. He says, Ya Adam, take out from hellfire out of every 1,000 one person. Meaning, out of every 1,000 people, 999 will enter Jahannam and only one goes to heaven. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will distribute to mankind. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, who is narrating this hadith, says, من كل ألف تسع مئة وتسعون وتسع 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 وتسعون. From every 1,999 remain in hellfire. And on that day is when the world, yani, when the day of judgment, that's the day of judgment actually. And they said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying this hadith, said, Ya Rasulullah, which one of us is going to be that one person? If out of every 1,000, 999 will enter hellfire and only one enters Jannah. Ya Rasulullah, what's left for us? That means which one of us is going to go to heaven? Like they got despaired a little bit, they lost hope. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, Abishiru, have good news. Be optimistic, don't worry. فَإِنَّ مِنْكُمْ رَجُلًا وَمِنْ يَأْجُوجْ وَمَأْجُوجْ أَلْفٌ. Every one of you is one man. In comparison, in ratio to Ya'juj and Ma'juj, one man of you is equal in ratio to 1,000 of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. That's the equivalence. For every one man of a normal human being is 1,000 of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. So he said, that Ya'juj and Ma'juj will take most of hellfire. And there will be enough room for you, don't worry. So they're huge, man. Like, to make up a ratio, all of mankind, all of us on earth, for every one man is to 1,000 of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. Imagine how many they are. So how can you ever beat them? They're uncountable. The Prophet ﷺ says that Isa alayhi salam receives that news. So he goes to the mountains. They kill everyone. They leave nothing out. And then finally, when they think that they have killed all of the people on earth, they turn their arrows to the sky and they shoot it into the sky. The angels return it back to them with a bit of blood on it. And then they assume that they have killed the people of the sky as well. So then they say, قَتَلْنَا أَهْلَ الْأَرْضِ وَقَتَلْنَا أَهْلَ السَّمَاءِ. We have killed the people of earth and killed the people of the sky. We are now, they say, مُلُوكَ الْأَرْضِ وَالسَّمَاءِ. We are now the kings of earth and the kings of the skies. That's what they think. You know, they killed Allah, they've killed angels, they've killed everyone. This is how bad they are. At that point, Isa alayhi salam, they stay there. Allahu alam how long they stay on earth. But it's only a short while. It's just another major sign that the last hour is coming. Armageddon, as it says in the Bible. It's not a new thing. Then Isa alayhi salam sends one man. Sorry, he makes a dua first. He says, Ya Rab, we are stuck here. We are denied a lot of things. Rid us from Ya'juj and Ma'juj. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the dua of Isa alayhi salam, He sends a particular type of birds. Alaykum as-salam. Did I say birds? I meant to say, He sends a particular type of disease in the necks of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. A parasite, like a worm, that comes out of their neck or causes a disease in their necks. And they all die. Every single one of them finally dies. It's a plague. A parasite in their necks that causes them disease, and every single one of them dies. And they fill the earth. So Isa alayhi salam sends a mu'min to go and see if Ya'juj and Ma'juj are dead. And this mu'min has to go knowing that he may die. So one of them volunteers. And he goes and sees and returns back with the news that they are gone. Meaning they are dead, perished. So we come back down and the people come out of their homes and from underneath the grounds in the mountains, whoever survives. And amongst them is kuffar as well, non-believers. They don't all go. But to our shock, because there are so many of them, as in the hadith, they would have caused the worst stench on earth. They stink really badly. Smells everywhere. Allahu Akbar, that many? So the Isa alayhi salam then asks Allah, Ya Rab, get rid of them for us. So Allah sends a particular type of birds. Now the birds come in. Some say they look like vultures. They're big birds. They're able to carry one man. And maybe this is an indication that Ya'juj and Ma'juj are really actually very small people. Maybe they are smaller than a human being, probably by half the size. And they do look similar to the Asians very much. Because the hadiths indicate that they look more like a mixture between the Asian people and the Turks. Meaning the Turks in those days are the Mongolians with wide eyes and flat faces. So in between that, flat faces with wide shoulders and big, yet at the same time short built. Maybe like the Chinese or something like that, Allahu Akbar. They are similar to that type. And the birds carry them, and they throw them into the oceans, the seas. And the ocean can take them all. The oceans can take them all. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes a special type of rain. Rain on earth, because of their bodies, all the earth becomes unfertilized. You can no longer grow anything in it. So Allah sends a special type of rain with medicine, fertilizer for the earth, and He revives it once again. Allah says in the Quran that He's able to do anything with the rain. He's able to do anything, especially with the rain. He says,
وترى الأرض هامدة فإذا أنزلنا عليها الماء اهتزت وربت فإذا أنزلنا عليها الماء اهتزت وربت وأنبتت من كل زوج بهيج.
Allah says, and when you look at the earth, you find it barren and dry. When we send down the rain upon it, alas, suddenly it is turned alive and greenery and plantation is everywhere before your eyes. So Ya'juj and Ma'juj then are gone from earth. My brothers and sisters, we don't know if shortly afterwards, or after Isa alayhi salam's death, or within that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders for the sun to be risen from where it sits. Bringing about the next major sign immediately, brothers and sisters. It doesn't take time. To our astonishment, According to all the Sahih Hadiths, the sun will stop its normal rotation one day. And then, one day, you will find it rising from the place where it is meant to set, opposite way. Subhanallah. So it rises and begins to rotate in the opposite direction. No? Sorry, the earth, obviously, because the earth rotates, it rotates in the opposite direction. And so does the sun. Everything is reversed. Allahu Akbar. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that at that point, the sun begins to lose its light and its power, slowly, gradually. When he says, إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ, when the sun rolls upon itself in a way where it loses its light. And scientists today discover and tell us in astronomy that the star, which is also, I mean, the sun is a star, the biggest star, but the star, it has a life, and towards the end of its life, it actually becomes smaller and loses its light until it begins to roll within itself in a very peculiar manner and releases a single ray of light. They call them pulses. And in Arabic, you call this takwir. You know, it just fades away and shrinks and loses its light. Well, you see, my brothers and sisters, on that day, even scientists today have told us, and in the past, that there are three stages of the universe, no doubt. That in the beginning, the universe is expanding at a rate, at a tremendous rate, uncountable rate, tremendous rate, very quickly, very fast. And ever since the beginning, it's been expanding and expanding and expanding. Allah says, وَالسَّمَاءَ خَلَقْنَاهَا بِأَيْدٍ وَإِنَّا لَمُسْيَوْنَ. And the skies, or the sky we created with our hands, and we are expanding it. They said soon it will reach a point where it will be fixed, stable. It will stop. Now they call it the Big Bang. Then it reaches a stability. Then following that, they said there will be a big crunch. The big crunch. And that's when the universe reverses itself and the crunch happens. Because Allah says, إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ وَإِذَا النُّجُومُ انْكَدَرَتْ. And when the stars begin to collide with one another. A reverse effect, brothers and sisters. The universe begins to crush on itself. That is the first stages of it. So the sun begins to rotate in the opposite direction, reversed. It looks like it's rotating in the opposite, and it is, because the earth is also rotating in the opposite direction. The Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا خَرَجَتِ الشَّمْسُ مِن مَغْرِبِهَا, when the sun comes out from its setting point, حِنَئِذٍ, on that time, there will be no more tawbah, no more repentance from anybody. Meaning, anyone who is a kafir cannot become a believer anymore. There's no more tawbah, there's no more forgiveness either. So whatever state you are in that state. No more tawbah. There are two times where the tawbah stops. Number one, when the soul reaches the gargling point as you are dying. When it reaches here, gargling, meaning you begin to release a croaking sound. Like that. No more repentance. And when the sun rises from where it sits. That's another major sign. Immediately after each other comes out another sign called Ad-Dukhan, the smoke. There is not much explanation about the smoke, however we do know that this particular smoke shall be known. And Allah says in the Quran, فَارْتَقِبْ يَوْمَ تَأْتِ السَّمَاءُ بِدُخَانٍ مُبِينٍ يَغْشَ النَّاسَ هَذَا عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Surah Ad-Dukhan. On that day he said, so await till the day when the sky shall come forth with a very clear smoke, that every people on that day will fear that there here comes a terrible, hurtful punishment. They think it's a torture, it's a punishment. The whole sky is filled, the world is filled with smoke in the sky. I don't know what color it is, black, red, I don't understand, I don't know. But the moral is, it's another major sign and the people will fear it. My brothers and sisters, either then or before then or after then, as we said, we don't know which is before the other. However, Isa alayhi salam would have died and Al-Mahdi will also would have died. And the only ones left on earth are a group of believers who will also die and go. Then the Quran is lifted off earth. There will not remain a single ayah, neither in the minds, or the hearts, or the pages, or the internet, or anywhere. Any ayah in the Quran. It will be forgotten. How? The ones who memorized it would die, and they will leave behind them a generation that does not know anymore. It's gone. And Allah lifts it off the earth, can no longer know the Quran. And this is a preparation for the earth to erupt, and does not erupt on righteousness. Until finally, the believers are left with only one word that they will only know and nothing else. This is narrated by Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, that they will only know the word La ilaha illallah. There is no God worthy of worship except for Allah. They won't know prayer, they won't know wudu, they won't know the Quran, no more Sharia. And Ibn Abbas, he was questioned, what would this word La ilaha illallah benefit them? There's no more religion, no salat, no hajj, nothing. He said, tunjihim minan nar, tunjihim minan nar, tunjihim minan nar. It'll save them from the fire, save them from the fire, save them from the fire. Why? It doesn't mean that anyone right now who says La ilaha illallah, but doesn't pray, doesn't fast, doesn't go to hajj, doesn't do anything of the religion, that they're going to go to Jannah and be saved from hellfire. This is different. This doesn't apply to us, my brothers and sisters. The only reason it applies to them in those days is because they do not know anything else. And they cling on to this one. They say, all we remember is this word. وَرِثُوهَا عَنْ أَبٍ عَنْ جَدٍ. Prophet ﷺ said, they will have inherited it from father and grandfather. That's what happens with the world, my brothers and sisters. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in that time, when there is only scarce, like don't know what's Islam, what's not Islam, don't know the right from the wrong except for that word, Allah releases a beast, an animal that walks the earth. It's called Dabbatul Ard. And Allah mentions this Dabba, this beast in the Quran. He says,
وَإِذَا وَقَعَ الْقَوْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ أَخْرَجْنَا لَهُمْ دَابَّةٌ مِّنَ الْأَرْضِ تُكَلِّمُهُمْ أَخْرَجْنَا لَهُمْ دَابَّةً مِّنَ الْأَرْضِ تُكَلِّمُهُمْ إِنَّ النَّاسَ كَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا لَا يُوقِنُونَ.
Which means, and when the final promise comes, when everybody has forgotten, everybody's in disobedience, most are in corruption, we release for them the beast that walks the earth. It shall speak to the people and tell them that you have forgotten the verses of Allah. You have forgotten the signs of Allah. And in the hadith it says, it has the ring of Sulaiman alayhi salam and the stick of Moses, Musa alayhi salam. It rubs the ring onto the kafir and it turns the kafir black and leaves a mark for them. And then it paints the Muslim white, Noor. And so on that day, the people will be separate into two types. This is how they'll be known. They'll be known by their extreme difference in shape, in color, Noor and no Noor. And they'll be called by those names. The people with Noor will be the people of heaven. People of no Noor, people of hellfire on that day. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends the three earthquakes. These earthquakes, brothers and sisters, are amazing. They take away lands, countries, cities, many cities all at once. One in the east. East of what? The east of Medina. East. The other side of the world. Like Australia, Indonesia, Malaysia, towards Japan and China. All those areas. It's the east. And an earthquake that gobbles up lands and countries in the west, towards America. Yeah? Towards those areas, Canada, Brazil, Argentina, you know, up to the top, the Greenland, that area, will all go, gone. They will sink. And one more in the Arabian islands, في جزيرة العرب, one big one in the Arab Peninsula. And Allah knows best where that is. But the point is, lots of land will vanish and disappear. And this is an indication of the preparation for the next sign to come that will gather the people in the place where they are all going to be gathered for the Day of Judgment, finally. As-salam. But before that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends a breeze. What is it? A breeze, a wind. It passes by the nostrils of every human being. However, it does something to the believers. Every believer, that has an atom's worth of iman, of belief, this breeze will make them, will take their soul away. As soon as they breathe it, they die. They die. And the only ones left on earth are the kuffar, the corruptors, the evil people who do not believe in Allah. And there will be no Quran, no blessing, nothing, nothing. Just evil and cursed things. When there is no more believer on earth, no more Quran, no more Tawheed, no more Kaaba, as we mentioned, remember? The Suwaiqatain, the man of the two distinct shins, shall break the Kaaba rock by rock. And his helpers will be the people of Mecca themselves. On those days they will not be believers. That's it. No worship, no Tawheed, nothing at all. Allah sets the stage for the final sign. And the final sign is An-Nar. The fire. Not necessarily a fire that blazes, but rather could be lava, could be some kind of very hot material that will gather the people on earth. What it does is, when the fire comes out, this great fire, it emanates from Al-Yemen. It comes out, it starts from Yemen, right from the top. And then it spreads in the earth. And it drives the people all the way to their place of gathering. And there will be three stages that the people will be gathered. There are some people who will be on horses riding and running away. And there will be a group that will be walking and running on their feet. And there are some of them that the fire gets to them, kills them, and just drags them along, their bodies. Burns them and keeps dragging their bodies along. The point is, it gathers all the living people on that day to the place of their gathering. And probably even bodies from underneath the ground. And it gathers them to the place of gathering. The place of gathering, my dear brothers and sisters, as in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, will be in Palestine, in Baytul Maqdis in Jerusalem. and anyone in the valleys, in the mountains, anywhere, the fire will get them. And it will take them all the way to Asham in Palestine, as well, in Palestine in specific. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, the land which we will be gathered, without a doubt, if there is any difference of opinion, we all agree that it will be Asham. Asham, place where Palestine, Syria, Lebanon, Jordan, those areas are all part of Asham. And we'll all be gathered over there, brothers and sisters. One person asked me, how can all the people of the earth be gathered there and raised and resurrected for a day of judgment there? We say to you, Allah says in the Quran again, on that day the earth will be transformed from the earth you know today. So it could be expanded. There are no mountains, there are no hills. And everybody is gathered there and resurrected in that same place. And they all fit, my dear brothers and sisters, they all fit. My brothers and sisters, this is the final of all the major signs. And in my conclusion, I conclude it with the final occurrence of what happens on that day. And that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after taking the lives of the people, not all the people, most of the people, and the ones that the fire took, there are still some people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the angel Israfil, whose duty is to blow into a trumpet. Allah knows what this trumpet looks like. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, once he was pale, and he said, you ask me why I am pale? Why should I not be? When the owner of the trumpet has placed his lips onto it, onto its nozzle, and is about to blow in it. That's how close it is, my brothers and sisters. As soon as he blows, it comes out with a faint sound, first of all, and it increases. The first person that hears it will be a shepherd on a mountain with his flock. So he will listen to that sound, and then he will listen attentively. As soon as he hears the sound, he dies. And everybody that hears that sound, as it increases, also die. With that sound, as people are dying, along with the sound as it increases, the earth begins to erupt. The stars begin to crush against each other. The moon and the sun, the earths and the planets, the great crushing of the universe begins and commences. Gravity will be reversed. The oceans of the earth will spread on earth. You'll find, imagine seeing a huge wave, brothers and sisters, while you are sitting here in this masjid, and you look outside those windows up there, and you see a huge wave that reaches the clouds coming towards you from all sides. And quakes. And it's complete destruction. Everything gone with the blowing of the trumpet. Allah says, وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ فَصَعِقَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا مَنْ شَاءَ اللَّهِ. And when the trumpet is blown into, everything on earth and all of those in the heavens, the skies, will all die and perish and be destroyed, except the ones whom Allah wishes not to. Some people in the heavens, they stay alive. So everything is erupted, my brothers and sisters. On that day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Ya ayyuhan nasu ittaqoo rabbakum inna zalzalat as-sa'ati shay'un 'azeem. يوم ترونها تذهل كل مرضعة عما أرضعت وتضع كل ذات حمل حملها وترى الناس سكارى وما هم بسكارى ولكن عذاب الله شديد. Which means, O people, fear your Lord, be aware of Him, be conscious of Him. Everywhere you go, fear Him, not only in the masjid, but also outside the masjid, wherever you go. Fear Allah, then Allah reminds us. The earthquake, the shattering, the shaking of the last hour is something enormous. Allah says, "Azim." It's enormous, it's great, it's humongous, something beyond anything. And he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying it's huge. And when we look at a mountain or a volcanic eruption, we say, "Whoa, this is huge." But to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's a very simple, very minor. What He considers to be huge is the last hour. Says in the Shajjat al-Sa'i, "Shay'un azim." It's amazing, it's unbelievable. On that day, you will find every woman who is breastfeeding its child, suckling. I mean, how much does a mother care for its baby when it's breastfeeding? It'll grab its baby like this, it'll throw it off her breasts and throw him away. She'll grab her baby and throw him and run. That's what Allah says in the Quran. From the intensity of this sa'ah, it's so horrifying. She'll grab a suckling baby. Allah is using the most merciful type of situation. The mother's breastfeeding its baby, throws her away. And you will find the people running around as if they are drunk. But they are not drunk. They're not drunk, but they run as if they're drunk, intoxicated. They're still in their same minds, but because of what they are seeing, they become intoxicated, no longer in their state of mind. وَمَا هُمْ بِسُكَارَى. But Allah says, you see, the punishment of your Lord is very, very intense. It's very hard. Brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals these verses to show us His greatness, His azama. A lot of us, we take Allah for granted. We disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in secret when no one is looking at us. Especially when no one is looking at us, Allah wants us to realize the greatness, the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It means, who are you fooling? Allah says, in other words, who are you fooling? The greatness of Allah is meant to make you a righteous person. As you are in open in front of righteous people, you must be also in secret when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you. No cheating, no lying, in your trade, in your business, in the night, in your bedroom. Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Know the greatness and the power of Allah. Wallahi, when you realize the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you cannot bear but go down on your knees and prostrate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As soon as Israfil blows into the trumpet, everything is destroyed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He destroys everything, He says to Jibreel, to Malak al-Maut, the angel of death, to take out the soul of Jibreel. And then to take out the soul of Israfil, then Mikael. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Ya Malak al-Maut, who is left? Man baqi?" Malak al-Maut says, "Ya Rabb, I am left, and you, as for you are everlasting and you never die." Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Malak al-Maut, the angel of death, "Take your own soul out." Malak al-Maut then takes his soul out, and he feels the pain enormously, and he dies. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves everything in that state, and then He calls out subhanahu wa ta'ala in a manner that befits His majesty, without any similarity and without trying to imagine or trying to give example of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, "Where are you, O victimizers? Where are you, O cruel ones? Where are you, Ya mutakabbirun, people of pride? Where are you who disobeyed me and challenged me? Where are you, O people who forgot me because of their wells and their health and their herds and loads of gold and silver? Where are you now, O kings and authorities? Where are you, Ya Fir'aun? Where are you, so and so? Where is your power now? Where is your authority now? Where is your sultan? Where's the power now?" He says to everyone. And then no one replies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Why do you not reply? Where are you today?" And then He says, "Man baqi?" Who is left? Who is left? And then He replies to Himself, "Lam yabqa illa ana." Only I am left. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins to praise Himself with His glorious names and His glorious attributes. And He becomes angry. Yes, Allah becomes angry as He says, "Ana al-Jabbar, ana al-Qahhar, ana al-Aziz, ana al-Alim, ana al-Awwal, ana al-Akhir." I am the beginning and I am the end. I am the powerful, I am the highest, I am the exalted, I am the authority. There is no one greater than I. La ilaha illa ana. There is no other God beside me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins to unify Himself and praise Himself like none other. Till the point where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reaches a state of anger that he has never been angry like this before, nor will he ever be in this state after, till the day when we will be resurrected. Allah creates Israfil alayhi salam and orders him to blow into the trumpet, and then we are all resurrected once again for the day of judgment, on the day where Allah is in a state of anger, never like this before, never like this after, to be questioned for our deeds. That, my brothers and sisters, is another story. Now we have completed and finished. We must believe in all these signs. We must unify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and prepare by knowing His greatness and His ability, subhanahu. My brothers and sisters, I thank you for listening. And here we conclude our lesson and series about the signs of the last hour. جزاكم الله خيرا هذا وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. What's the reason why there is a rapid reaction? Rapid deterioration. Well, brother, the reason behind it, basically, I think I've explained that, or probably indicated, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He doesn't value this earth. He says, if it was worth the wing of a mosquito, He would not allow those who challenge Him and go against Him to drink a drop of its water. But because of the animals and the believers and the children, He gives water. So Allah doesn't value this earth at all, or this whole universe, subhanahu wa ta'ala, rahmukallah. The rapid deterioration is as a result of the good people and the pious people gone from this earth. And death is a nature that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained. It has to come to an end. That rapid change is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ended the life of the examination. And now it has to come to the day of judgment, which He has promised. So therefore, Allah lets go of it immediately and quickly, because there is no worth anymore for whatever is left on earth. This is the end of the world. So this is what I can answer you. Yes, brother.
How long is the day of judgment for the believers?
The brother is asking, how long will the day of judgment be for the believers? My dear brother in Islam, beautiful question. Allah says in the Quran, في يوم كان مقداره خمسين ألف سنة. The day of judgment will be on a day as long as 50,000 years. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was saying this, one of the companions said, "Oh, ya Rasulullah." Oh, meaning whoa. This is long. إنه لزمن طويل. Very long day. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said to him, "It will be for the believer, the mu'min." كقدر صلاة صلاها في الدنيا أو كقدر ركعتين صلاها في الدنيا. For the believer, it will seem like as long as two rak'ah that he prayed on earth. For 50,000 years, it will seem to you like two rak'ah. You will be in bliss. You will be under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will be hugged by the angels. You will be looked after, drinking from the hands of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the fountain of Kawthar. It will be as long as though you prayed two rak'ah or a salah on earth. And then there are other believers, akhi, it's a little bit longer as well. Yeah, and depending on their deeds, depending on their sayyat. But for a common kafir, 50,000 years. Naam, ya akhi. What will happen to the weaponry on that day? That's a good question, brother. I don't know exactly. There is no particular narration that tells us about this technology. However, the scholars of today, they speculated that from the way the hadiths come to us, they're saying as if technology and the modern weaponry, the weaponry that we have today, will be extinct and gone. They say even the computers will be gone off the face of the earth, and there will be no energy to supply it anymore. This is what they say. And that wars will return back to the fighting with the sword and metal. You know? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best about that. This is what I can say. Yes? Sahih. Barakallah. No more. Eh? Yes, brother. The brother is asking, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا, which means, in the Quran, which means, as for those who receive their book in their right hand, then they will be judged an easy judgment. Subhanallah. Aisha radiallahu anha asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the exact same question. When he said, مَنْ حُوْسِبَ عُذِّبْ, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever is judged on the day of judgment, judged on the day of judgment, then no doubt they're going to have to be punished. Then Aisha radiallahu anha asked, Ya Rasulullah, then what is the meaning of the verse where it says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. As for those who receive their book in their right, they will be judged in easy judgment. Yep. You said whoever gets judged gets punished, and here it says easy judgment. What's the difference? And he said, Ya Aisha, as for the believers, تُعْرَضْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ عَلَيْهِمْ عَرْضًا, their judgment is that their actions and their deeds will only be displayed. But they will not, but there will not be an argument or a debate in front of them. Or it will be said to them, but there will be no reply. يعني there's no debate. ليس هناك نقاش, مشاجر, no conversation about it. As for the mujrim, the criminal, amongst the Muslims and the non-Muslims, he denies. As it's being displayed, he says, Ya Rab, I did not do this. Then Allah says, as soon as he questions, he's going to be judged. That means he's going to be punished. So, حساب يسيرا, meaning, your judgment will only be displayed in front of you. You will not be, there will no debate and argument, will be showed, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show you the good deeds. And then he brings you close, and close, and close, until there is no translator between you and Allah, only you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he says, Abdi, do you remember when you did such a bad sin, and such a bad sin, and such a bad sin in secret? Doesn't show you all of it. This is Hisab Yasir. And he says, Ya Rabbi, yes, I remember when I did this bad sin. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whispers to him, he says, I have forgiven it all for you. لَقَدْ سَتَرْتُهَا, لَقَدْ غَفَرْتُهَا كُلُّهَا لَكَ. لأنك خفتني في الدنيا, because you feared me in this life. وقد سترتها عليك في الدنيا وأستروها ليوم عليك في الآخرة. I covered it up for you in this life, in the life, and today I will keep it covered and not let anyone know about it. فهذا يحاسب حسابا يسيرا, an easy judgment, and he's given his book and his rights. Immediately he goes out and he says, ها أمقرأ كتابي, says, everyone read my book. That's how it happens. But inshallah, we'll talk about this inshallah in the next series of classes to come, the Day of Judgment. But it's time now. A few more minutes. A couple of more minutes. Does anyone require more clarification before we end this inshallah? Yes. Come closer, I can't hear you. Will all the Muslims go to heaven? Yes. Every Muslim that has Tawheed, you know what Tawheed is? Tawheed is the belief in the oneness of Allah. Every Muslim who has Tawheed in their heart and doesn't make any partners with Allah all of his life, will go to heaven. But maybe not straight away. Some Muslims will go after. Some Muslims will go to hellfire first. Because some Muslims, let's say, used to be lazy in their prayer. Probably didn't fast. Probably didn't give zakah. Probably, so they'll all be punished in hellfire first. But in the end, they all go to heaven. Every Muslim with Tawheed. But if a Muslim who calls himself Muslim, but he has shirk, like he makes partners with Allah, prays to another God or something, even if he says, I'm a Muslim, he will never go to Jannah. Ever. Do you understand? Good. Yes, Akhi.
I said, after the sun, right,
That's a good question, brother, which I don't know the answer to. The brother is asking, when the sun rises from where it sets, can the Muslims who have done sins repent from that sin? I don't know, brother. I've still thought about that myself and looked it up. However, all I can tell you is that when the sun rises from where it sets, there is no more repentance. That's all we can say.
The severity of punishment, is it the same for Muslims and non-Muslims?
Or? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the severity of the punishments and what they deserve. It is not the same for Muslims and non-Muslims. Some Muslims get a more severe punishment than the kuffar. The only difference is that Muslims with tawheed, without shirk, will eventually escape from hellfire, but the kuffar remain there forever. No. Shaykhi? Al-Munafiq, what about it? Of course, yes. Yani, there are some kuffar that get more punishment than the Muslims. There are some kuffar that get less punishment than some Muslims. Some of them are equal. They're all in hellfire. The munafiqeen are the worst. They're not Muslims. They're the worst of all disbelievers. Aywa, fi ddark al-asfali min al-ard. They're in the lowest pit. There are Muslims who are zunat, adulterers. There are Muslims who didn't pray their prayers on time or lacked most of their prayers. Where do they go? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ. What brought you into Saqar? Saqar is a fifth level in hellfire, five deep. And say, we weren't one of those who used to pray. There are Muslims who didn't pay their zakah. Allah, there's a level for them in Jahannam below even some kuffar. But the kuffar remain in hellfire forever and ever and ever. The Muslims will be released one day. Yani, hellfire burns away what's left of their sins. It's because Allah is just. They go to Jannah, and then they swim in a river, and they turn all nur, except for one single spot on their face. They will be known by that, and they are called Masakinu Ahlul Jannah, the poor people of paradise. Now, we'll end it here, brothers and sisters. I thank you for listening. Assalamu alaikum.